Welcome to the Fabric Podcast. In this episode, you'll hear Greg and Chris Meyer pause and reflect on fragility and how the fragile is connected to and can even reveal deep love. They'll walk through how we might use the pause box we've been using these weeks for our own reflection on those perfectly fragile expressions of love.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome, Greg Meyer here with Fabric. And we have been talking about Because I Love You. And as I've said every week, that is an answer to a question. The question is, why do you love me? And the answer that we get deep down in our hearts is, because I love you. It just comes down to that. And we've been exploring some different ways that we experience that love and know that love and taking the time to park there and be there, because in the busyness of our lives, we just flash by this stuff and we don't know it. And love that isn't undetected is not appreciated and isn't really received. So this week we're talking about fragile love. I think you see some of the, well, maybe the representation of the fragility of beauty and its simplicity, but you also feel a symbolic sense or a metaphor for the love that we have that is as tender and soft and delicate as all of that. You're familiar with a story that comes up this time of year after Mary has a baby, and an angel comes to them and says, "Do not be afraid." It's always ominous when an angel says, "Do not be afraid," because it's obviously the reason they're saying that is, you're afraid, right? So there is something to be afraid of, but we're being asked not to. "I am bringing to you good news of great joy for all the people," like rah, rah, this is amazing. "To you is born this day in the city of David, a famous city, a savior," that's a superhero who is the Messiah, even a better superhero, the Lord. "And this will be a sign. You're going to find a baby." A what? A baby. A baby. Well, obviously in a palace, right? Lying in a feeding trough. Well, what are the chances of survival? I mean, this is fragile. This book, there are so many ways you could understand what the overall message of this book is, the Bible, but I would say one of them is God's wrestling with, if God is already love, that's what God is. God is love. And God is wanting to bring the most powerful form of that love to us. God's wrestling match with what is the most powerful way to deliver love? And the final answer is in the most fragile way possible. Fragility, the most powerful form of love. I mean, we need love to show up in power. We need love to bring justice. We need love to protect. It needs to be fierce. It needs to be the lion sometimes. But in the end, love needs to be fragile. Those of you who are here with people you love, you know that. You experience that. My mother died about 10 years ago. And when she left her last version of a home to be in nursing care, shortly before she died, she was getting rid of things, and one of the things she gave me was a simple ball from my childhood tree that was really Oh, shoot. Okay, that was a dramatic setup. She did not give me this. Melissa brought that this morning, right? I have no emotional attachment to it. But did you feel it? And I do have things like that. The sense of loss. And how fragile these things that are tender and precious to us can be. It's important. Chris and I just spent a week with our grandkids, and lots of cuddles, lots of quiet times, and just that cuddly love. And you want to hold it tight, but you know you can't hold it too tight, because they gradually need to be less dependent on us and more connected to other people. We have to let go of that. My parents, too, lived a long time, and they are no longer with me. And life is fragile. And I think that means that the love that goes along with life is fragile, and that's some of our most precious stuff. I kind of wonder if it isn't true that the reason love is so precious is because it is so fragile. So we want to take a week thinking about this. We want you to take a week thinking about this. And Chris, you want to come up here and, and join me, we want to lead you through our pause box again. And just exploring what this most powerful form of love is.
There's and, Greg making a mess again.
Yes. I got to live up to my reputation. Yeah. So this pause box is called a pause box because you won't do this if you don't pause. And I know this is hard to do, all right? Because what we're doing is, you know, we're going to run through kind of quickly with you guys, but it'll take longer at home. If you are an adult on your own or just with another adult, you don't have time to do this because you are too busy. I'm sorry, you need to pause to do this. If you have a household of kids, you know there's too much energy and other stuff going on and there's no way to get them to pause. So create some mystery around this to make it happen. In fact, I recommend, I mean, you can decide what works for your family, and some of you can exchange notes if you've been doing this, but pack up the box after every week or after every day so that there's this whole setup and make some adventure around it. I know we were
like Greg said, we were with our kids, our grandkids in Rochester, New York, and we were talking about the pause box on our flight home, and we were saying, well, how can we do this with kids? And I think the process of unpacking creates a little bit of that space and time and gives busy hands something to do. And so it kind of makes that comma in the flow of life, and it gives you a chance to start asking some of the questions. And so we have the opportunity to consider fragile.
Try things like that. Yeah. I know when I was a kid, we'd Advent devotions, we did a similar sort of thing, and we went to a different room. We went to the living room where the Christmas tree was, and that all made it kind of exciting, and it was dark. So you open up your box, and go ahead, do this with us, will you? Open up your box, and you're going to find your little guide, which is there, lets you know what to do, and you have your cloth, which it claims the space, right? This is claiming a pause.
It's a physical mark of right. Making space, and you don't have candles in yours, but at home you do, so place out your candles. We're on the third week, and I liked what Maya said in the circle this morning. She talked about the fragility and the power of fire. It's easy to blow out these candles, but think of the power that fire has to burn, destroy, and also to create space for new life. So.
And you got all your tiles that you need to letter yourselves at home. This is just a demonstration box that you have at your table with you. And we won't take time to do them all, but
so if you've been doing this throughout the last 3 weeks, you'll have the words beautiful and breathtaking to spell out with your tiles, and you'll have a chance to letter your new word, which is fragile.
Fragile, or as we say in Italy, fragile.
Greg has little cheating things here. He has little cups with the different words in it. You can do that at home too.
But if you got really busy hands, they may want to just pick out all those letters.
That's true. And then you have your question prompts, and we have the spyglass, the washer turned spyglass. And when I think of fragile, I think of easily broken, or I think of delicate. And then I think of my grandson, Gavin, who loves cats. And he really wants to love those cats. And so when he sees a cat and he's going up and he's just going to give all that love to the cat, we say, gentle touch, gentle touch. And if he remembers to be gentle and not like this, the cat will stay and be loved by him. And so it's that kind of gentle, fragile way of approaching it, not the power of his emotions for that cat.
I've got some adult cats in my life that need to be loved that way too.
Yeah,
where's our bee?
Our little bee. Here it is.
Okay, so the washer to look through. First week was kind of like a microscope. Second week is kind of a telescope looking out at the breathtaking. This is just looking for where that fragile love is in your world.
This is a sparkly bee, my favorite.
Remind me, like how can you be love in a fragile way? How can you be it? This is, how did you see it, and how can you be it? And a reminder for that, how can I be love in a fragile way? You know, for me, my mind when I thought about this morning was thinking about all the kind of societal stuff and the people that I want to get on the same page with them. I don't have to make them believe what I believe, but I need to get on the same page with each other. And I know that that's a powerful thing to have happen. And I've tried all the other forms of making that kind of connection, that kind of love happen, right, where we could be on the same page. And I've really come to the conclusion that it's going to have to be done in a fragile way. I'm going to have to venture something. I'm going to have to risk something. I'm going to have to not have a certain outcome in mind when I do it. And I've been trying to explore how I can do that. So that's a place I've been being at. Last thing in there, you also find a question mark. And those are sponges, by the way. So when you are at home, if you haven't done this yet, someone can have some fun.
Stick
this
in
this water and let it expand up. But the question is like, what do I wonder? What am I wondering about this? And it's something that you don't have resolved. And here's, I'm going to give you something again to talk about for 1 minute. And that is, I'm wondering about the other names we know this fragile love by. Yeah, what are the other words you know this fragile side of love by? And think of the places, think of the ways you experience it. And like some of them that came to mind for me really fast is like it's tender, soft, yielding, precarious, risky, intimate, warm, personal. I mean, you can use the old
complicated.
Complicated, yeah. So the last piece here is these strands of rope that are in your box. You haven't taken those out. You can pull those out now. And these strands are for what, Chris?
They're for braiding.
They're for braiding.
They stand for ourselves, our individual selves, our community.
Community and the whole world, everything that's not us. And then this third strand,
which is bigger than all
bigger
of
than us.
Us.
And so if you just want to put one braid in it and then pass it around, and you can, there should be some braids in there already from other weeks, and you can put yours in there. And then I think, this is sort of, this is your prayer piece. This is your closing. This is, you're connecting each other. And I think it's good to reflect on how do you feel connected today to the world, to yourself, to God? How is that happening? Where are you experiencing it? If you want to share something about it, you can. But it's just a time to remember it and to gradually get this all braided up as you go through the season.
Thanks for listening. We hope this conversation continues in your life. You can connect with others through our social media accounts at FabricMPLS or find resources for discussion with smaller groups, family, and friends on our website, fabricmpls.com.